Hi, this is Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And this is our podcast.
Yay!
Welcome back. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Hopefully you're listening.
Hopefully you're listening because we have some really important things to talk about tonight.
We're very smart, interesting, funny women.
Right. We keep up on current events and politics and we think deep intellectual thoughts.
And we're pretty.
Aw. And we also, I think, have a very healthy intellectual fascination. Fascination is not the right word. Appreciation.
Yes.
Of celebrities.
Interest.
And celebrity culture. I am not above an issue of Us Weekly here and there.
Oh, no.
Hell no.
And actually, it's one of those things where, you know, I don't like to look at that online. I like to have the paper.
You like the glossy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big Us Weekly fan. You know, I need to do what I need to understand. Like, I need to know who Katy Perry is dating.
Yes.
Orlando Bloom, by the way.
Oh, that's right? A good couple.
Interesting, right? Although the thing I read today was that she's paying like all of his bills and stuff.
Oh, geez.
But so anyway,
she must like really, really white guys with dark hair. I mean, I think that's
yeah, because he kind of falls into that John Mayer
and the Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her thing.
That is her thing.
It's kind of gross because she kind of likes people that look like her then.
Oh, good point. Ew. Good point. Speaking of John Mayer, I once interviewed him.
You did?
On the phone. This is pre-Katy Perry. This was years ago. And I talked to him for like 20 minutes on the phone. He was playing at Sleep Train Arena. And at the end of the interview, he's all, hey, you going to come to the show?
Oh, my.
I was like, what? Am I supposed to like come and say hi to you?
Yeah, that's
a little
weird.
Awkward.
I've never heard this story.
He was really... I mean, it was over the phone, so he doesn't know what I look like, and I don't look like Katy Perry, but my whole point is he was pretty flirty.
Black hair and bangs? What are you talking about?
Maybe he just knew through the phone. He was like, you sound like Katy Perry. He was really flirtatious, and it was kind of funny because I was like, oh, that's your game right there.
Huh. Yeah. Wasn't he kind of like the Hollywood gigolo?
Yeah, he's supposed to be. Well, he supposedly dated Taylor Swift and like when she was only 18.
And
or
who else? 19. That was a good one.
Oh, he wrote a song.
Jessica.
Yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, but what about Jessica the...
Simpson.
Yes, thank you.
See, we know these things.
Yeah, we're really smart.
We're very smart, and we're smart about celebrities.
Yeah. You've met a lot
because
of your line of work.
Yeah, in my line of work, I've met quite a few. Some of them lesser celebrities. I don't mean to put anybody down, but you know, if we're talking ABCD list... I think one of the most famous people that I've met is Matt Damon.
Oh.
I interviewed him before one of those Bourne movies came out.
Okay.
I think the second one.
Okay.
And got to do an interview with him on the balcony.
Was he friendly?
He was so friendly. Sitting on the balcony of his hotel. Well, you know, he's one of my movie boyfriends.
Oh, okay.
Corey knows this. It's okay. It's totally fine.
All right.
It's cool. We have an understanding. I smoked a cigarette with him.
Oh, my. You're not really a smoker.
Yeah. But when he offers you a cigarette, you're just like,
what are you going to say?
Sure.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, sure. He lit it for me.
Oh, my. Yeah. What a gentleman.
He was very much a gentleman. And the best thing about the whole interview was that the best part of talking to him was watching the way that he lit up when he talked about his girlfriend, who's now his wife, and her daughter, who's now his stepdaughter. So he was really a sweet guy.
That's so.
Oof.
Making my heart smile. I've not met that many celebrities. I met Trey Cool.
Tell me about that.
At our friend Scampi's wedding.
Yeah.
And he was there because her husband is the drum tech for Green Day.
Yeah.
So actually all Green Day was there. But
Trey Cool
is the only one that I talked to. I think I said a word to
him. Were you at the same table with him?
No.
Oh, okay.
I met him on the dance floor.
wait. I have not heard this particular detail of this story.
He said something about my butt.
Oh.
And then it just turned into this conversation about girls, what he does with girls on tour. And
their butts?
Yeah. And sweaty. And
did he know you were married?
Yeah. So then he met Bobby. And Bobby is, you know, a fun-loving guy.
Right.
And I think Bobby was probably amused that...
And
Trey
Bobby
Cool
likes
was...
butts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think Bobby was more amused that it was happening rather than upset or angry.
Wow.
And plus, when you meet Trey Cool, he's got this like really pretty skin. It's kind of hard to hate somebody with
like, is it very well moisturized?
Yeah. Like, wow. I've never seen skin like that in person. It was.
Did you want to touch it?
I did.
Like pet him?
I did. But wow. then I would clog up his pores.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't want to get oil. You don't want to.
Yeah, Trey Cool is the only one. I mean, but it was a good meeting because, you know,
yeah,
he told me some stuff.
Huh.
But yeah, I'll share with you later.
Okay, that's off mic.
Yeah.
But I've heard another story about celebrity encounters. I think maybe Bobby.
Oh, Bobby. He won. I'm going to tell this. We'll visit this on our next episode. Okay. In the Department of Rumor and Lies.
Yeah. But
Bobby won like Battle of the Bands or something.
When he was in high school. Okay. Okay.
And I'm telling this last wrong, week. By the way. Yeah. This is all wrong. Okay. So anyway, just play along.
Yeah, so just wait for the corrections next time.
He won Battle of the Bands, right?
Okay.
And so he got to meet Bon Jovi, and Bon Jovi was not very nice.
John Bon Jovi?
John Bon Jovi was not nice, but he met Richie Sambora, and Richie Sambora was very nice and very friendly and outgoing and sweet.
So how was John Bon Jovi not nice?
He just kind of ignored him and was like, oh, here's this little kid. Whereas, you know, you've got to be John Bon Jovi. Not that Bobby was a fan of his,
yeah,
but Bon Jovi doesn't know that.
And why was Bon Jovi there?
I don't, you know what?
Because if they had been invited to be there as part of this thing, then don't they sort of have like an obligation to not be
That's
jerks?
That's what I'm saying. So now I can't listen to Bon Jovi.
And now I can't either.
I know, you jerk.
I think what I want to know, was this pre or post John Bon Jovi getting his hair cut?
Pre.
Pre, so it was all the full fluffiness?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
you know what? Let's wait for the Department of Corrections and Lies.
Rumors and Lies. Rumors okay. And
I like Department of Corrections.
We need to correct our corrections department. this is upsetting to me, though, because John Bon Jovi doesn't seem like somebody who would be a jerk, but I guess you never know.
You never know. And so you met John Travolta.
Yeah, speaking of Johns.
Was he a jerk?
He was not a jerk.
I can't imagine him being a jerk.
No, he was not a jerk. I met him. There was a press junket for the movie Ladder 49 with him and Joaquin Phoenix. And we were at this hotel in San Francisco. A bunch of other reporters. And like, basically, they sit you in a hallway and you just sit there and wait for your turn to go into this room for 15 minutes. Right? You just sit there and you get like 15 minutes in the room and like a publicist comes and grabs you and walks you to the room and like opens the door. Sometimes they sit you in a room and they bring the celebrity to you, but mostly you have to be brought to the celebrity, like you're being presented to them. It's really
like in a harem kind of,
or just like you're part of their royal court in some way. And so they're always they're always sort of like sitting just right and like the lighting is right. And
look, Rachel, you made me cross my arms. I'm very upset. Right.
Paloma is not liking this story.
No.
So I was brought into this hotel room. John Travolta was in the room. Remember, the room is kind of dark. Like the curtains
probably
were drawn.
So you can't see his skin because I guarantee it's not as lovely as Trey Cool.
I'm pretty sure it was not as lovely. So I'm doing this interview with him. I'm asking him about this movie, and this movie was not very good. So it's like you're trying to dance around sort of the subject
of
a movie.
It
was Ladder 49. He played a firefighter who was part of survived like this burning building that collapsed and killed one of the, and I'm sorry if I'm giving this away for anybody who has not seen the film, which came out like 10 years ago, but spoiler alert, somebody dies in the beginning of the film. So I'm asking,
your spoiler alert was not very good.
I'm supposed to tell them before I spoil it, right?
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay. So I asked him about a really stupid, benign question about training for the film. Like, what did it take to play a firefighter? And he was telling me that he went through a firefighter boot camp of sorts. So
he's a craft actor?
Totally method. So he's telling me this, and we're in this hotel room. And he's sitting on a couch, and I'm sitting in a chair across from him. And all of a sudden, he jumps up from the couch, and he goes, "Let me demonstrate." And he drops down to his knees. And there's a coffee table that was between us, a glass coffee table.
Oh, my God.
He drops down to his knees, and he wiggles under the coffee table to show how he was, like, taught or learned how to dive and, like, crawl in small spaces, but he can only get so far in the coffee table because he's not a small man. And so he's like underneath the coffee table and he's still talking to me and he's like, yeah, so right here, this is where it's hot, you're really tired, you've been doing this all day. But all I can do is I'm staring at this big old John Travolta butt that's in khakis. He's wearing khakis. And I'm just staring at his butt.
Rachel, I have the worst secondhand embarrassment right now. My ears are hot. That's how bad it is.
I think I froze. Like, I'm supposed to be talking to him and like having this conversation, and I think my jaw was probably on the ground next to his butt. And like, oh, that sounded wrong. No, it wasn't. Oh, yeah. I was just like, I'm just going, I am staring at John Travolta's butt, and this is the guy that when I was in elementary school who I loved because Grease was like one of my favorite movies. Yeah, and that's all
gotten a little bigger since then.
And his butt's got, I think his butt had doubled in size. But I'm just staring at it and I'm like, I think maybe this interview is just over. I don't know what to say. What else do you say after that? But he was actually very nice. I will say that.
What's interesting is the world of celebrities has changed in the past 20 years with reality television.
Yeah.
And I did not
redefine celebrity.
I did not accept reality TV in the beginning. I was very anti.
I knew that.
My cousin would watch The Real World, and I was so embarrassed for her.
This was Ian.
Yeah,
your cousin
and now,
Ian. Okay,
I love The Real World, and she's long gone.
And you love a lot of reality.
Oh
TV
my god,
now.
I do. Except you know what? I've given up on a lot because now that I'm a working mom, I don't get a lot of time to watch these things. So I have to be very selective.
Yeah, I understand.
But
that.
I binge watched a show for the first time in years the other night. 60 Days In. And the premise is normal civilians. I mean, people who have not committed crimes go undercover in this particular jail to see the corruption there. And then where drugs are coming from, all that.
Okay, so it's essentially, because you and I talked a little bit about this off mic, because you were telling me about the show. It's like there's a cop who's on the show who's gone undercover in this prison.
Yes,
and
an ex-Marine. Who wants to be a DEA.
Right. And then there's like a housewife or something.
Yes. Yeah. Like who does not belong there.
Who was just like, she's like the sort of the dopiest, sweetest looking. Just sort of like, why? Yeah. She's kind of mousy.
Yeah. And like red hair, freckles, and this.
Yeah. And she just looks
ears.
Bewildered all the time. Yes. And it's like, you look bewildered because you're in a prison or a jail. Why did you do this? But yeah, so you got me to watch this show.
Yeah. So the cop is a woman and she has a very short haircut and she's kind of, I would say, masculine.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to masculine,
I think
right?
I think it's appropriate.
I mean, she's tough.
She's really tough. Yeah.
And so you think that she's above all these.
Right. You think that she's going to be the person who sort of glides through. Like the stereotype in my head is like she's super tough and this is going to be
nothing affects
a piece
her.
Of jail cake for her.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone's going to stay away from her.
Right.
They're going
to
see the tattoos and the haircut and be like, oh.
Yeah, stay out of her way. She could beat me up.
But no.
No.
She gets involved in these like interpersonal.
She has a meltdown and it makes me so tense watching her.
Yes.
Where I'm just screaming at the TV like, you put yourself there. You did this. Why are you freaking out so much?
The whole show is intense.
The whole show is intense.
It's a world I don't understand and I don't want to understand.
It's the kind of show. So like I was watching it with you and then Corey and I watched about half an episode before we turned it off only because I was tired. But the whole time we were watching, I was just like, remind me not to ever do anything that would ever put me in a position where I get put in jail.
Good advice.
Good advice. Like I always kind of like the idea of undercover stuff, but that's so hardcore that I don't think I could do that.
Well, you went undercover in a high school.
Right. I have done undercover in my work world.
How old were you?
I was 26, I think, at the time. And
I cannot imagine going back to high school at 26, especially now. Oh, my God. I essentially look like an older woman now. But
so when I was 26, I looked a lot younger, and I would still get carded and, you know, I was still in that lovely glow of having a little bit of a teenage youthful air about me. And I had this idea for my job as a journalist to go undercover at a high school and
movie that did that.
Yeah. Pre Never Been Kissed.
Okay,
I really need to just emphasize that movie came out after I did this. I had this, my whole idea was that I felt like teenagers were being unfairly maligned for being teenagers.
They're not.
Yeah, I learned that. Okay. But I also thought you know, we all have that feeling, or maybe not all of us, but I had that feeling of like, if I knew then what I know now, that high school would be a lot easier. And it wasn't. It was harder.
I would not go back.
It was harder. I was only there for about 3 weeks, and it was miserable.
So my,
miserable.
My 20-year reunion is this year in October.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is I changed high schools. My house burned down. All these things. My high school experience wasn't typical.
How many? Did you go to two different high schools?
I went to two different high schools two different times.
Okay.
So I left one in the middle of my freshman year, went to this other one, and then left that one to go back to the other one in my sophomore year.
Okay.
So it's just...
That's a lot of moving around for high school
awful,
years.
Yeah, it was awful, actually. Yeah. And so I never got to really make friends, because my freshman year, any friendships I'd established at my first school had been diminished by the time I got back.
Right.
And I never really got to make friends at the other school. I mean, I made enough friends.
Yeah.
I mean,
you weren't sitting by yourself.
I wasn't eating my bologna sandwich in the corner or something.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. People out there listening who might be eating their bologna sandwiches alone.
But my 20-year reunion, I was all excited. Like, oh, I want to go.
Did you go to your 10-year reunion?
No.
Okay.
Facebook is the only reason why I am in touch with any high school people anymore. I mean, a couple friends maybe.
Well, so that's the thing. I went to my 10-year reunion, and then by the time my 20-year reunion came up, I was like, I have Facebook now. Why?
I know.
I see the people online who I want to see.
Yes.
And if I really wanted to, I could make plans to get together with them. They're easy to track down now.
I like to see their racist posts.
I've been pretty lucky, but you...
I grew up in the... Yeah.
I've been pretty lucky that I haven't... Not too many of my high school friends have made me cringe. Those that I am friends with on Facebook have not made me cringe.
A lot of Trump supporters. Which, you know what? And the thing is that I try not to condemn people for their political beliefs, but the Trump thing kind of
it's
a little
different. That's crossing the line. So yes or no, you're going to your reunion.
So I want to go really bad, but I was talking to Bobby, but like I actually started really think about what it meant and what was going to happen when I got there. And I don't think I would have anyone to talk to. I think it would be Bobby and I like getting really drunk.
Is there like one person that you went to high school with that you could sort of...
My friend Shara.
Uh-huh.
Because I love Shara. She just recently moved back to California too. I would chat with her.
That would be like the one thing I would say is like if you had one person that you
She'd
could...
Be worth it.
Yeah, because that's what I did for my 10-year is that I actually reconnected with a friend at my 10-year that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And she and I are now, we are still really good friends after that has happened. But she was probably the main, the best thing that came out of going to the high school reunion. Because otherwise I was paying a lot of money to eat salad and bread. It cost $90.
Oh, man.
And they give you like a buffet of food, and it was like all roast beef.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know, vegetarian. So Corey and I ate salad and bread, and then you had to pay for your drinks. And then I still just remember there was like, you know, a DJ or something. Mm-hmm. And I still remember like this group of cheerleaders. I mean, they're not cheerleaders anymore, but they were back in the day. Like running to the dance floor because was their shining moment. And I was like, all right, ladies, have at it. Have at it. Go, please return to your glory.
So I'm going to go no matter what.
Okay.
My level of comfort will be reflected in my level of alcohol.
I mean, obviously.
I guess that actually is all the
this
time.
This is groundbreaking how.
Yeah. It's not. But you know, cause things are different. At my 10-year, I wouldn't have had a child and I was much thinner. Now that I have my sweet little daughter,
aww,
worth every pound.
Yes.
But you know, it's a little different going back to high school reunion.
Yes, the lovely Rosalie would actually give you a lot to talk about at your reunion.
Well, yeah. So the other day, I was putting on my jeans. I hadn't pulled them up yet. And Rosalie said, those are going to be tight. And so I love my child.
Right.
But why would she say that?
Because she's almost three.
And I've done such a good job not using body shaming talk in our house.
You're really good about
that,
too. But I think that you can't. There's some things that just permeate.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
I got rooped.
You got rooped. Yeah. Well, your daughter rooped me today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to explain the rooping in a minute. But Rosalie 100% rooped me today when I came over. So I'm wearing, because obviously we're on.
It's casual.
It's casual. You know, it's a
you
little
look cute. I mean,
thank you. So I'm wearing these pants that are slightly cropped and they're navy blue and they have polka dots on them.
Really cute.
And Rosalie says, you're wearing your pajamas. Look, I looked down. I was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Or is she basically telling me that I look like a lazy bum? I look like the person who goes to Starbucks in the pajamas and Uggs,
Which, yeah.
So, yeah, Rosalie rooped me.
You totally got rooped. So tell the people what rooped
okay,
is.
Okay, so... getting rooped, for those of you who don't know what it is, and none of you know what it is.
No, except nobody except the four, Corey, yeah. Rachel, Bobby, and Paloma.
So at Christmas, Corey and I were at my brother and sister-in-law's house. So my brother Adam, my sister-in-law Annie, and they have a daughter Audrey, who's a little bit younger than Rosalie. And Annie's family was there. And Annie, there's a friend of the family that comes to a lot of the family gatherings, and his name is Rupert.
I love the guy named Roop.
They call him Roop. His name's Rupert. They call him Roop. And I don't even know he's a nice guy. However, so Audrey, my niece, got one of those bounce houses for Christmas, and she's in it. She's playing in it. It's got all these balls in it, and like the gravity, whatever thing, it's making the balls fly up in the air. I'm not a physicist. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she's sitting in it. The balls are flying up in the air, and her hair, she's got blonde hair, and it's the
baby fine
hair. And it's also flying up in the air. It's like the static is causing the hair to go like skyward. And Roop looks over at Corey, who has blonde hair that is somewhat.
It's styled.
And he goes
upwards.
And I know Corey would tell this better. I might have to correct this next time. He says, "Is that how you get your hair to look that way?"
Oh, he got rooped.
And later, Corey is like, "He totally clowned me. He didn't just clown me; he rooped me." So that's turned into a thing where if you say something to somebody along those lines, you know, the response is, "Don't roop me, bro."
Rosalie also kind of rooped you. No, she didn't. She said last week that you didn't have a beard.
See, that was a good thing. You know, because, you know, I as a lady, I don't necessarily want a beard.
Nobody wants a beard.
So she said, yeah, I don't know where that came from. She just looked at me and said.
Oh, I know, because she's fascinated.
She loves
Corey's beard.
Yeah. So
my daughter likes men with beards, glasses, and plaid shirts.
She likes hipsters.
She does.
Yeah. But so Corey's got a beard, and then she looks at me and says, "Rachel doesn't have a beard."
I was like,
huh. You're right. I do not. Thank you very much. That was the anti-roop, actually.
Yeah. Aww. Negative roop. Well, I guess, Rachel, I think we've said everything we can say for now. We really haven't. But
for now.
I think we've said enough that people will listen to for now.
Are you guys still listening? I really hope so. We're really happy that you tuned in for this latest episode.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Good night. And this episode of Good Girls Don't was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock.
We wear producer hats.
It was edited and engineered by Bobby Jordan.
My husband and I help.
Child care services were provided by Bobby Jordan.
Yes, tonight.
Kind of.
Normally. Yeah.
Normally, drink services and the ever helpful suggestions were provided by Corey Vick.
Yes, we love Corey Vick.
We do love Corey Vick. So thank you to everybody involved.
Thank you.
We will see you next time.
Oh, that's funny.